We are about to transition into a pretty special time. This is our fake fire. Very nice. But why we're doing this is we're about to have a mock debrief. So it was part of our trip after each day, and especially when we were at the compound, that we would meet around the fire and we would just spend time singing and praying and sharing together about what God did that day and how we were seeing Him alive and active in our own lives and throughout the trip. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through each day, all 7 days, and we're going to just kind of highlight a few things on each day, and that's going to give a chance for the team here to share. And so this, just imagine yourself in the desert, and the sun's down, and there's a beautiful fire, and we're going to just share with you. So I'm going to find a seat, maybe, right here. Ooh, lights go down, very nice. I would like to start by saying that I had way too many burritos. I am very full. So yes, Mark just said 10 taco Thai. There's a story behind that. We had tacos one day in town in Puerto Peñasco, and I thought I was having 5, but underneath each one is an extra tortilla, so I made 10, and I had 10 tacos in one sitting, and it was really good. So that's why my name is 10 taco Thai. Thank you so much, Mark. I'm not on track for losing weight, that's for sure. We're going to get going here. As we explain, there's going to be actually pictures that somewhat go along with what we're talking about, and so just give you guys a bit of a visual as well as we talk. So we're going to go through each day. The first day, we were traveling from here to Phoenix. Phoenix was our destination on the first day. That's a church right there, actually, that we got to stay in. We're going to hear more about that later. But we were here at about 3:30 in the morning, very early. Thank you for your prayers that first day. And then as we were here, we got in the bus, and we drove out. Kevin was there with coffee, Kevin Shaw. It was amazing. Thank you, Kevin. And we drove to the airport, and we got to Phoenix. Bruckner, what stood out to you about this day? How did you see God at work? Where's Bruckner? Oh, there she is. He's ready to go.
So what stood out to me from the travel day was when we were in the airport, and we were all wearing our shirts that all match. A lot of people were actually coming up to us and asking, like, oh, hey, what are you guys doing? You look like a big group. Where are you going? So we actually got to share, like, a little bit about what we were doing and a bit about Jesus with the people in the airport, which was really cool.
That's awesome. And speaking of matching shirts, if you notice on the back, we have numbers. And so in the airport, in front of hundreds of people, we would do a verbal roll call just because it's fun. And it's our way of keeping track. And I would always see Rob. He was number one, so I would never make him say anything. I would just say, 1, 2... 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16, 17, 18, 19. Oh, 20. Aren't you amazed we didn't lose anybody? Dave. Yeah, Dave wasn't here in the first service. Who's 21?
Me, 21.
Thank you.
23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29.
And there you have it. There's the team. Thank you. 30. We did get good at it, but it seems like we need to get some practice back. That's all right. There's Joe right there. That's why he didn't answer. He was making burritos. And sometimes, actually, in real life, we'd be like, where's Joe? And he was kind of like off in the corner. That's all right. Rob, would you just tell us a little bit about the first day for you and just a really cool story about how God worked that first day?
This is our third trip down in 6 years. Every 2 years, we take a group down, and we just want to thank you for your prayers, first of all, because a lot of things that could go wrong. And we're just impressed with how unified our leaders were, how hungry our students were in serving, as well as having their devotionals. And I'm just impressed with how mature our pastor has grown over the years in leading our group. So just thank you for your prayers for that. Quick story. We were at the rental for our vans and our trailers, Doug Halverson and myself, and I came across an employee there. His name's Ernie, who I had remembered 2 years ago, and he loves the Lord, and he's very charismatic. And we carried on our conversation. He was telling me a story of how the Lord was tugging on his heart early one morning, about 2 a.m, and the Lord was telling him to take out his boss for a breakfast, to share the gospel with him. And so Ernie's telling me this story, how he was obedient to the Lord and following the Spirit, and he took out his boss, and he shared Christ with him, and he came came to know the Lord. Little did Ernie know that in 2 or 3 months later, the boss would pass away. And so Ernie's telling me the story. I was very encouraged by it. While we're waiting for Tyler to tell us to come back to the airport with our vans, Ernie all of a sudden opens the passenger side door, and all he says to me is, "Here, these students might like this." And I read it, and it's a license plate poster that gives 1 John 4:19. That's our theme verse of our trip. Little did Ernie know that we were having our devotion on 1 John as well. So everything was coming too coincidental. I say, "Ernie, how did you know?" And all he says is, "Be obedient to the Lord."
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, just a really cool way to kick off the trip. Thanks, Rob, for sharing that. Really neat to see people being obedient to the Spirit's leading. That's so wonderful. Doug, traveling the next day, we went to Mexico. But during that night, and we stayed in this church, and the next day was really special as well. Why don't you just talk a little bit about the hospitality that we got to experience? It was quite something.
Yeah, so as a team, we're obviously going to serve others, and you guys served us in many ways before we left. But as we get down there, there's a couple who have committed themselves to helping groups such as us and the Christian school in town in just encouraging and being there for us. And they share their church with us, which they showed the church that they show is only 2 years old. And yet they took us in there, gave us a tour, and just basically gave it to us to use for our night there. So we slept there. So that's Jose and Alicia Gomez. And then in the morning we get up and Jim and Judy Stolson provide breakfast for us at their home for 29 of us. We just go and invade their house, and they're a really neat couple, and they've just devoted themselves as well to encouraging groups such as us that come down. And so it was really neat for us as a group who were going to serve others to also be served and to be encouraged. And so, yeah, it was just a really neat way to start the trip.
Yeah, no, that's great. Also that day we were traveling. That was, so we were going into Mexico for the first time. That day, driving from Phoenix into Mexico, about 4 hours. Abby and Quinn, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the things that started crossing your mind as we started crossing into Mexico, right from the border on. Abby, why don't you go first?
Okay. So when we, like, first crossed the border, it was kind of like instant poverty. You just kind of saw it everywhere. And it's kind of like a wave kind of hit me, like, this is why we're here. We're here to help them and, like, show them God's love and...
Yeah, it was just pretty crazy to see just, there's not even really a line, like, it was just like, there was just a line at that, it just all changed from the infrastructure of the states and stuff like that to a lot more poverty, and you could just feel like God being like, you need to come here and help these people.
Mm. Thanks, guys. We got to stay at this awesome compound, and just, like, they fed us every day. They gave us amazing places to sleep. Let's just talk a little bit about compound life. Taya, would you just share a little bit about some highlights from life at the compound?
Yeah, the compound was really cool. There was a basketball court, a pool, and a volleyball court. And so as a team, we got to play basketball together and volleyball every night, and it was really good to just become a better team and stronger together. And we stayed in triple bunk bed houses. So there's triple bunk beds, and that was really, it was cool.
Oh, that's awesome. That first night there, the picture of everybody in line, one of the head builders there down in Mexico, his name is Harris, he showed up there that night and fed us supper, and he just gave us tons and tons of what they call Sonora hot dogs. It was just basically hot dogs loaded with delicious stuff, and chips and bottles of Coke, glass bottles of Coke, and it was just awesome. And so he served in that way too. That was really neat. So day three was our first work day. We started getting busy working and building houses and coming alongside of these families. But before we did that, each day we had devos in the morning. What was significant about those devos, Livia?
I really feel like God was just preparing us every morning with the devos, like spiritually and mentally. And he was also just guiding us so that we would be able to show his love through our actions while we were in Mexico and showing us exactly what we needed to do for the day and preparing us for that. Mm,
that's awesome. Sarah, how about you?
I guess going off of what Olivia said, it was just like the best way to start your day, and it gave you something to think about throughout the rest of the day, whether
that was how you were going to apply it or how God was going to use it or show it to you. So it was just encouraging, and it was also amazing to do it in front of, like, the most beautiful sunset you've ever seen, because right behind the compound, it was just, like, this, like, flat ground, but all you could see is the sunrise just, like, rising above you. So it was pretty encouraging.
You said sunset.
Oh!
I'm turning into Tyler.
I said that every time. Well, that's great. And then, so as we drove into the neighborhood there, into the sort of more impoverished area, the barrio, what were some of the things that were first going through our heads? Emma, why don't you share a little bit about some of the first thoughts going through your head as we drove into those areas to build?
Yeah, so the poverty was pretty realistic, like, it was crazy, and I was just thinking that how joyful these people are for how little they have and how much we take for granted here, and it was really crazy to see that.
Yeah, Brad, why don't you take a minute to share as well?
Yeah, and well, also, like, amidst a bunch of that poverty, like, you can tell, like, the homes that are built by, like, One Mission, because they're, like, these gray stuccoed houses, and you can just pick them out, and there's just tons of them. So it's sweet to see, like, amidst the poverty, how much work One Mission's doing to kind of rebuild this community.
That's great. So that first day, we also met the families. Sway, tell us a little bit about what it was like to meet those families and how special that was.
So as we drove up in the car, you could just see them. They were standing by the road with the giant smiles on their faces. It was super cool, like, how happy that they were that we were there building a house for them.
Oh, that's great. Leonie, how about you?
When we got there, the family all shook our hand and or hugged us, and it was just amazing to see how loving they were. And they were so excited that we were there. And Soledad, or we prayed, and then Soledad told us how she would pray, and it was super emotional, even though we couldn't understand them. So that was
That's
pretty
great.
Amazing.
Thanks for sharing. That's so good. Lisa, that first day of building, what was your highlight in that first day of building, specifically with Romero?
Yeah, so we got there, and we weren't doing a new build, or it was a new build, so there were several families who had been in ahead of time and built something. So Doug had to look at, because he was our most senior builder, where they were at and what we needed to do next. The plans, because it's a new build, weren't really detailed, and so we were trying to figure out what we were doing, how we were doing everything. Finally, in my Spanglish, I went to Ramiro, the dad who was there on site, and just said to him, do you know how to do this? And he's like, see, and he comes over, brings a wheelbarrow, brings a stucco, puts the water in, mixes it up, takes it inside, shows us, and then we were off. It was awesome. Another really neat thing is he kept on saying, you know, he kept on trying to say to us, we'd say, oh, this is your house, what do you want us to do? And he kept on saying something, and I'm like, oh, mia casa, su casa? And he's like, see, he was really emphatic on the fact that it was all of our house, and that he really wanted it to be about all of us, not just them.
Yeah, that's really special. So day four was our work day two, right? So we'd already worked a whole day, and then we showed up, and we got working for the second day. But a little bit different, we were a little bit more connected with the families. Jacob, tell us a little bit about how you connected with those families the second day, your family.
Well, it was definitely different, as in the... Though the two boys weren't there most of the time, they were at school, Carolina was there, and we seemed to connect with her a lot more. So we played basically every game she could think of. Even though we couldn't understand her too well, through a variety of hand gestures and broken Spanish, we managed to somewhat understand each other and still have a good time.
That's so good. Yeah, go ahead, Lisa.
And I'm going to bust Jacob again because he didn't say it, but... Jacob, one time there was just girls and Jacob, and it was awesome. And we were playing Go, Go, Stop. And after 15 rounds, you got to get a bit creative. So we're doing ninja style, different things. Jacob, it's all sand, you saw. He's on all fours, and he's commando crawling and doing Go, Go, Stop, commando crawl style. It was awesome.
Yeah, no, the girls, they love that. It was so good for those young Mexican girls to see that. That was so cool. So that fourth day, we had a fiesta. Looked a little bit like this in here. Typically, throughout the week, they have a fiesta night. They bring the families in. We're gonna show a video here as we get that cued. We bring the families in, One Mission does, rather, and they get to share a little bit about their kind of their side of things and what's going through their mind when they get this house that's built for them, and not just for them, they're actually earning this house. And that's one of the neat things about One Mission. But we actually took video. It's a little hard to hear. You're going to have to pay attention. But Pedro there on the far left, he interprets for us. But it's just neat to see that both of these families that we got to build for, just how much they're resonating with the fact that this is from God, and that we got to have a part in that. So it's really cool. So let's watch this together.
When she gets mad, it's not dulce. Dulce means sweet. She's not sweet, she's like citrus. But I love her very much, he says. ¿Qué significa esta casa para ustedes? What does this house mean to you? It's a great opportunity for us. That God is giving us.
Cada semana tenemos personas muy buenas.
Every time we have beautiful people in here with us.
Y pues es algo que no se puede decir con las palabras.
Sometimes we can express with words.
Porque es un sentimiento al corazón.
It's a big, huge feeling in our hearts. Don't cry. Don't cry.
Gracias.
Gracias, muchachos.
Yo digo que las casas que One Mission hace,
and I say the houses that One Mission is built, our building,
son las mejores.
Are the best. Yeah. They're made with the best material.
El corazón de todos ustedes.
Your heart. Muchachos, ¿y qué significa esta casa para ustedes? What does this house mean to you? Háganse para acá, un poquito para acá. ¿Qué significa para ustedes esta casa?
Pues significa mucho porque...
It means a lot. This house means a lot to us.
Yo con mis hijas...
My daughters and I, we've always lived in a small room.
3.5 or 4 meters.
Just a small room.
Eso era cocina, cama,
and everything in there, it was everything. Kitchen, bathroom, everything. And my girls, they always dream to have their own bedroom. They've been growing like that. One of them is 12, the other one is 11. And you, how many años tienes?
Six.
Granddaughter, but she's been raising her. These are the princes. They've been making plans that they were gonna have their own bedroom. They were dreaming about it. And now, God first. Thank God in all of you. They're gonna have their bedroom. And they come, and this is gonna be my space. And they're laying out where the bedroom is gonna be here, the living room is gonna be here. They're so happy, they're really happy. It's incredible. God's love is so big. And that love is being shown through all of you. God bless you all. God bless you, good health and long life for every one of you. I feel like a huge happiness. It doesn't fit in my heart. It's so big. It's incredible. What a great love. What a great love you have. Big happiness to us. Thank you so much.
It's great. It's powerful. It's impactful. Those girls got their bedroom. They're excited. What do you want? We want our little bedroom, a place to call our own. We all have bedrooms. We take that kind of stuff for granted. And it's those little things that's so huge for them. But to top that all off, that one lady in the first video said, you know, these houses are built with the best materials, your hearts. I just thought, oh, that's really cool. And the president of One Mission was there that week, and he actually commented on that, and he said, that was one of the coolest things I've heard at a fiesta night from a family. And so that's so neat. God is totally at work down there, and that's very evident. So day five was our final work day. It was a little bit, it was emotional. It was sad because we had to say goodbye to our families. Caleb, just tell us briefly, how did the final work day go with the families?
Just being able to connect with these families and seeing all our work, what we went to go do, be complete, it was very encouraging and just emotional to be able to do this with the families.
Yeah, it's great. And you, by the way, were like a workhorse that last day. I just want to say, you would never say it, but this guy knows how to work, just in case anyone needs somebody to, you know, work for them. Good job. Go ahead.
So team two, we were on the one that had mostly finished. And as Lisa said, Romero, he kept introducing or talking about the house being all of ours. And he invited us back to come stay with him, which when you see the size of the place, it's not the biggest. But one of the things he had all of us do was sign the rafters of his house with our names and a Bible verse, which I thought was very touching. So.
That's great. Thanks, Patrick. Day six, we did a few things. We ended up back in Phoenix day six. We went to the beach day six. We went to the Golden Corral. For those of you that aren't familiar, you need to go there. You might not feel the same afterwards. It's a buffet that's basically only in the States. It's awesome. Laura, just tell us a little bit about that last day. What was something you saw God do that day?
Well, I really saw how God looked after us with safety-wise, because as soon as we got into the past the border into the States again, the warning light in our van came on saying that we had low tire pressure. So then Doug pulled over and just checked and could tell it probably like a slow leak. So we would stop like every so often just to make sure it wasn't like losing too much air. And so then as soon as we got to the nearest town there, Gila Bend, like we were able to pull over in a gas station, and then they could assess it better. And so then they realized that there actually was a nail in our tire. So then they decided to just change the whole tire. So that was great. So then just how God kept us safe until we could change it and get on our way. So that was just another way that everybody that prayed for safety had gone, those prayers had gone before to keep us safe for that.
Yeah, no, it's so evident the whole trip, just God's hand in all of it. His through safety and through leading us and guiding us. Just amazing. Oh, there's some pictures of the Grand Canyon. Look at that. Now, the last day, day seven, this was a day that was all about travel and trust, because this is kind of when stuff started to really go wrong for us. Our flights all got completely changed. Our group actually had to split up. Half of them went to Vancouver. The other half went straight to Kelowna. It was a little bit stressful. But all along the way, we saw God at work. Johanna, what's just one thing that stood out to you about that day and just seeing God at work that day?
Well, one thing that stood out to me was that the flights, I thought they were actually going to get fully canceled. Like, wasn't that the plan? Yeah, so a few of us broke off and started praying about that. And almost immediately after that, boom, we were put on different flights to Kelowna. And that was just really amazing how fast that changed and how fast that happened. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so neat. One of the ways I described that last day is, did this just go? Beauty. One of the ways that I described that last day is just kind of God looking at us and saying, sit back and watch this. And everything went wrong, but then he just made everything go a different direction that was so much better and so right. And just really simple things like travel that cause humans to stress out and freak out. But God, just in his sovereign mercy, in something as simple as that, just showing his grace and saying, hey, I'm in control of this. I have you guys in my arms, and we're going to get you back home. I've done it all week. I'm going to keep doing it. So we were all very thrilled with that. We're just about done, and then I'm just going to share a few words from Scripture. Mark, just one thing. I'm going to get Mark and then Shelly to share as well. One thing that you just found most impactful from this trip.
Just one. Well, I'd have to say the transition of the kids from the start of the trip to the end of the trip had to be the most amazing thing, to see changes in how open they were to talk, to how they would feel free to tell others about Jesus, strangers. There was just a noticeable difference from the start to the end. At the start, some people wouldn't say two words, and near the end, you couldn't shut them up. And so that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. And a lot of it and most of it was due to your prayers and the prayers that we were offering up during the trip, and just the power of the Holy Spirit was so evident the whole time.
Yeah, that's right. Shelley.
I'm kind of on the same line of Mark with my comment, but more so I think about this group. This is the third time Tyler and I and a couple others have gone down, and I have seen such growth in how this group has unified. We always work on unity before we go, and we pray together, play together, eat together, all those things. But the way that these kids treated each other when we were there, I am so proud of them for the growth in themselves, because they just loved each other. There was nobody left out. They were all, if somebody was missing, they were looking for them. They played games together. They did all those things. And kudos to the leaders, too, because in the evening, we all gathered and sang and had our own prayer time, and then would have a game time if some of us didn't go to bed. Anyway, so I just wanted to say, like, how unified this group is, and bringing that home and using that in this youth group is just huge to me. To me, this whole organization of us going has really grown leaps and bounds. Yeah. And thank you for all that, Tyler.
Hey, well, thank you guys. That's great. I'm gonna share just a little bit from God's word. I think that's important that we do that on a Sunday morning. Just want to speak for a second further on this team. Your prayers have been so welcomed and needed, and just to see God at work, it has just been phenomenal. And we speak of unity. And you know what's sweet about this is that this is just a small representation of a greater body of youth that are involved in this church and in this community. And my encouragement to you, among many from Scripture and from what we're going to look at in a second, is to just keep praying for our students. These students are here, and they're willing. They're on fire for the Lord. But the enemy doesn't like that. He's going to attack. And God wants to use them in their schools. We think of our schools. We've got about five fairly big high schools in Vernon, and most of the students in these schools aren't saved. They don't know Jesus. And so here they are in our very own mission field right here in Vernon. It's important to go to places like Mexico and overseas, but we have a very real call right here in Vernon, as well as these adult leaders and as well as yourselves. You know what the world's like. You're in it every day. And there's a need for a Savior named Jesus. And so my ask for you guys this morning is to continue praying for your students of Emmanuel and for this leadership team as well. Well, I'm going to speak from John, 1 John chapter 4, just briefly this morning, just for a few minutes, just to kind of direct our minds again to the goodness of who Jesus is and the goodness of who God is. And like I said before, as part of our mornings and evenings, it was a privilege to be able to gather together and go through what we learned in our devotions. And we went through 1 John. We went through all five chapters throughout the course of the trip. And it was a requirement of the students and all the team members to just spend those few minutes each morning just recalibrating our hearts to God and asking Him to lead us and guide us that day and show us things from His Word. And then we would gather back in the evening and we would share. And our theme verse from that, it's partially because it's just nice and small and it's just so perfect, is verse 19 in chapter 4. Right? We love because He first loved us. Like, very simply put, that's the whole reason behind what we're doing. Right? We are going because He first loved us. We love because He first loved us. And here in chapter 4, there's actually a whole bunch of other text around this and reason to what makes this significance And as I was studying through this during our trip, and even recently in the past week or so, really just coming across this idea that this is all about our identity, right? We find our identity in who God is. And so I want us just to briefly just pause for a moment here and look at basically verse 7 to verse 21. And I want us to see three things. I want us to see a little bit about who God is. I want us to see who we are because of who He is. And then what should happen in us and through us because of that, right? If we are people who find our identity in Jesus and find our identity in who God is and in his love, then what does that mean for our lives? How should we act? What should we do? How should we respond to people around us? And that is all basked in love, right? And so at the very beginning, in verse 7, it says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." So right away, you see this direct link between who we are and who God is, right? God is love, and you are born of God, which means something for us, right? That should be significant for us. That should mean that we ought to act in a certain way, right? That we should love others, that we should, verse 19, the world, right? We need to love the world as God loved us, right? And that's part of why we're going down to Mexico. That's part of why this team was assembled in the first place, to go down into a place that needed very physical, practical things that is showing Jesus' love. And of course, in our speech and in our sharing of the gospel with them, we're pointing them to a Savior. That's the whole point of all of it. And so I love this idea of the fact that we're born, right? We're born of God, right? One of the descriptions that you can find in a dictionary or on the internet is that to exist because of, right? And the definition's a little longer than that, but basically the existing because of, right? And so I look at that in God's term and I say, the reason I exist, the reason Tyler Janz exists, I've come to the point in my life where I believe that the reason I exist is to glorify Jesus and to glorify our Lord and Savior and everything that I do, right? And that, I believe, is this whole team here. That's what we're unified in, right? We're talking about unity. What we're unified in is God. We're unified in the gospel, unified in saying we understand that nothing of this is from us, begins with us, or ends with us. It's all about God. And so we're going to be obedient to the Spirit of God, and we're going to go to Mexico, and we're going to show love in various different kinds of ways, right? And it's all about him. We're born of him, right? It's our identity. We find our identity in a multitude of things in 2019, don't we? I wrestle with this every single day, right? I wake up, and what am I going to start going towards? What kind of idols that I put in my own life am I going to start valuing more than Jesus Christ, right? And it's a passage like this that calls us back to remember what it's all about, to remember who we are. And look at God's love, right? This is a book, really, not just a chapter, but a book dedicated to talking about the fact that God is love. But the danger is to sometimes just pause there and say, okay, well, I'm only going to just believe that God is love and nothing else about his attributes and character, right? We need to remember not to eliminate all the rest of Scripture, right? It is God's word. And in God's word, we find out that he is just and that he's righteous, he's holy, and that really we can't even approach him without being the same way, right? That's why the sacrificial system was put in place. That's why God established priests, right? Because there needed to be a way to be made clean to approach God. But that's what's so beautiful about 1 John chapter 4. It says that God is love, and in that love, he comes up with this masterful, mysterious plan of redemption through his son Jesus on the cross and through the resurrection, that through that, through believing in that, through faith alone, we can be brought into the presence of God the Father. That's the gospel. That's what's so amazing about all of this, is that yes, he's just, yes, he's righteous, and because he's love, he has made a way for those that he created to be restored back to him. Because you and I know that in and of ourselves, we are pretty hooped. We're hopeless. Right, we need a Jesus to come and die on the cross for us. We need him. Also in this text, it says that Jesus is the propitiation for our sin. It says that Jesus is the propitiation for our sin. That's like, I think Don had said this in the past. That's like one of those million-dollar theological words. Really, in the easy term, right, and there's kids here too, just listen to this. I think we've even talked about this in junior youth and senior youth, right? Jesus needed to be the propitiation for our sins. He needed to go to God and to plead to God and to bring restoration back to the Father, right? He needed to go to the Father and say, Tyler sinned, but when you look at Tyler, don't see Tyler the sinner. I need you to see me, the righteous one who died for him on the cross, right? Another way, in 1 John chapter 2, this just puts so perfectly and such a perfect reminder, is that it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I write this to you so that you don't sin." right? So there's a charge there. There's a part of this that calls us to righteous living. But then the sentence that follows is great. But when you do, not if you do, but when you do sin, remember that you have an advocate, Jesus Christ, to the Father. Right? That, I sometimes think that that was put in Scripture just for me. And I know it is for the rest of you as well. Because we know that we get caught up in the idols and the things in this world that pull us away from the purpose of Jesus and the purpose of God's glory. And John is writing, we have an advocate. We have one who is our propitiation. We have one who is going before the Father saying, I took it. I nailed it to the cross. I died for it. And I came alive again so that this person, Tyler or Abby or Jenna or Rob or anyone here, can have new life. And in that new life, they get instruction. What are they supposed to do? They're supposed to love the way that we love them, right? We're supposed to love the way God loved us. So it's this nice little flow of who God is defines who we are, which means something should come out of that. And what is it? It's love. We need to love people the way that God did. It's so important. It's so very important. There's so many things. I encourage you guys, we don't have a ton of time tonight, but I encourage you to read through chapter 4 and just pick out some of the things that are commanded there and that are shown us about abiding in God, right? There's this part that says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in him. So we have come to know and to believe that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God. Right? And there's this idea of abiding that brings this sanctification. Kids, again, this word sanctification simply means it's this process of God transforming us into who we already are in him. Right? Jesus dies for us on the cross, and through that we are justified to him. And as we abide in him, as we practice things like love, right? You could even go as far to say that practicing love is a spiritual discipline. Like you gotta be willing to be obedient to practice love. And when we do that, we are going to draw nearer and nearer to God. And he's going to draw nearer and nearer to us. And when he draws near to us, he softens our hearts to what? To love others the way that he loves them. Right? It's this perfect little process of God working in his people. And I just want us to remember always that it is not about us. It is about the Spirit of God working in us. I have to find the verse here. Yeah, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us what? He has given us his Spirit. He has given us his Spirit. That's 4:13. By this we know, because he's given us his Spirit. Right? We cannot go down to Mexico and be effective in any way, shape, or form if it wasn't for the Spirit of God. We can't do it. It's impossible. We could go down, we could do some great humanitarian work, but it's not kingdom work, it's not gospel-centered if it's not brought to you by the Holy Spirit himself. And we acknowledge that, and I hope that you guys acknowledge that. And it's so important. We're nearing the end of our time. What I would love for you to do is to, like I said already, continue to pray for these kids and for these adult leaders, to remember your youth. I just want to thank you so much for the loads of prayer that you've given us, for the loads of money that you've given us, through the loads of support that you've given us. We have a pretty great church family, don't we, team? We really do. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. I know that the Lord is at serious work in Vernon, and we're excited to be